Good afternoon. My name is Dick Marzano, and this is May 6, 2020, the meeting of the Audit Committee for the Port of Tacoma. The time is 2 o'clock. We are meeting remotely today, present along with me by video conference is Port of Tacoma Commissioner and fellow Audit Committee member, Deanna Keller. Could I please have everybody do the Pledge of Allegiance and follow me? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
to the republic
for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all. Thank you. Before we begin, as we start the meeting today, I want to acknowledge that the Port of, as a public agency, and all of us on a personal level continue to deal with a COVID-19 health crisis. This has impacted how we hold our public meetings in order to best protect the safety and welfare of our employees, community, and customers. I want to also acknowledge that in accordance with Proclamation 20-28 and 20-28.1 of the Governor's Office, public attendance at this meeting is allowed remotely only. No in-person attendance has been permitted. The public has been encouraged to stay home and follow the meetings via live stream via the port's website or by telephone conference call. The link and phone number are on the port's website. Members of the public were invited to submit public comment by email to comment@portoftacoma.com. All written comments received by email by 9 a.m. Wednesday, May the 6th, 2020, has been distributed to audit committee members, or to deliver public comments via telephone during the public comment portion of this meeting. The public was invited to please email the port by 9 a.m. Wednesday, May 6th to receive instructions. The port is continuing to look at other ways technology can assist in that balance between prudent safety measures while also providing transparency when carrying out the public's business. We will now take up that business. The first item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from the October 31st, 2019. And do I have a motion?
So moved.
And I will second that. Is there any discussions or comments? Seeing none, all those in favor, Deanna, I think it's just you and I and everybody else. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, approved. I noticed that there was no public comment prior to the beginning of this meeting. Has there been any public comment beyond that? Judy, I guess that would go to you if there's anybody that signed up for anything.
This is Juliet. No one has, and we have no attendance.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. With that, we will start our general business. And prior to that, before I turn it over to Lisa, is there anything that Darren or Eric would want to comment on before we begin?
Mr. Marzano, I have some comments.
Go right ahead, Darren.
Okay, thank you. Darren Arakaki, Director of Accounting for the Port of Tacoma. First of all, commissioners, welcome to your first Port of Tacoma Audit Committee meeting, and thank you very much for serving on the committee. 2 weeks ago at the Northwest Seaport Alliance Audit Committee meeting, we covered background and responsibilities of the Audit Committee. Since the Port of Tacoma Audit Committee Charter, which outlines your responsibilities, are a mirror image of the Northwest Seaport Alliance's charter, so as not to be redundant, I will have just prepared some very short comments on the overview of the Audit Committee today. So the Port of Tacoma Audit Committee was created in 2010 to represent the commission and have review and oversight authority over financial audit matters. The port has two minimum audits each year. The first is the annual financial audit on the port's financial statements, and RSM will present the results of the 2019 audit today. The second required audit is the Washington State Accountability and Regulatory Compliance Audit. This audit is conducted under the authority of RCW 4309.260 and evaluates compliance with applicable federal, state laws and rules and internal policies and procedures to ensure public resources are not misappropriated or misused. At the last Northwest Seaport Alliance Committee meeting, I went through a long list of accountability areas that have been covered by the State Auditor's Office over the last 10 years, So I won't go over that list again, but just want to remind you all that the areas covered were very comprehensive. And the state auditors will also present their results of the 2018 accountability audit today. The third type of audit that we typically incur is a federal grant audit. If the port has spending on any federal grant project that is over $750,000, and we did not meet the spending threshold this year, so we did not have to incur an audit. If we did, RSM is engaged to perform the grant audit as necessary. One of my responsibilities for the audit committee is to prepare a schedule of meetings each year. The charter requires at least 2 meetings annually. And we try to schedule the meetings to coincide with the required audits. So today we will hear from the auditors for the financial statement audit and also the state auditor's accountability audit. The next scheduled meeting is in December, on December 7th. And the tentative agenda for that meeting is the financial audit entrance for the current year. And the SAO accountability audit for 2019. Any questions?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay. So one last comment before I turn it over to Lisa Wilson. I want to thank Eric Johnson and John Wolf for their leadership in setting the tone, making it a priority for us to maintain strong internal controls and to comply with state law and internal policies. Also want to thank staff for their contribution to the positive audit results that will be presented by the auditors today. And finally, congratulations and thank you to the finance team for all your work throughout the year preparing financial reports and for the extra effort and time required to prepare the year-end financial statements. So with that, I will turn it over to Lisa Wilson from RSM.
Thank you, Darren. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Lisa Wilson. I'm an audit partner with RSM, and I will be presenting the financial results for the financial statement audit. Our slide presentation says that Kayla Lipston is also participating, but she had a conflict today, so you just get me. Can the slides be advanced, please? So I'm going to walk you through sort of high level, first of all, the results of our audit test work. But before I do that, I want to echo Darren's comments. Working with the Portage Tacoma team is an absolute delight. They take high responsibility for their jobs. They are ready and available to us during the course of the audit. And this is the first year that any of us had to work through completing an audit in a remote manner. And as you can imagine, there was some learning curve along the way, lots of times on the phone and some screen sharing, but we are incredibly grateful for the port's nimbleness in working through that process and continued commitment to providing us not only everything that we needed, but in a really timely manner. So we're really thankful and grateful for that. So kudos to the team. They did an outstanding job. And I think you'll hear from the results that I'm going to review with you how that manifests into a clean financial statement. So we did issue the audited financial statements with an unmodified, also known as clean opinion, dated March 31st, 2020. And that was a few days earlier than we anticipated. So we were really pleased to be able to do that. Secondly, as a part of our work, we do look at the controls over all the significant transaction cycles for the Port of Tacoma. And as a part of that work, we look to ensure that those controls are working in the manner that they are anticipated and that they're functioning properly. If we identify control deficiencies, we would issue a letter that would identify if there were material weaknesses or significant deficiencies that were required to be reported. And we're pleased to report that there were none identified during our audit work. Just as a reminder, We provide reasonable assurance, but not absolute assurance that the financial statements are materially stated. So what that means is we do sample during our audit work. We don't test everything 100%. So we can conclude that based on the testing that we performed, the financial the financial statements are materially correct. I did not hear that the report did adopt a couple of new GASBs during the year, one related to fiduciary activities and one related to debt disclosures. I'm going to keep that at a high level now. I'll talk a little bit more about that as we go through the next couple of slides. So please go ahead and advance. So what is our responsibility as the auditors? So our responsibility is to form an opinion on the fair presentation of the financial statements. We consider internal controls as we design our audit procedures, but we don't actually opine on the effectiveness of those controls. And that's just a different level of service that the report does not require. And we also perform our audit in accordance with government auditing standards. That just requires our team to do some additional testing and have certain designations for our team in order to perform audits in that manner. And the reason we do that is because it's consistent with the reporting that is done by the Northwest Seaport Alliance. So it just allows some consistency across all reporting units. Next slide, please. So when we met with you in the winter time, so gosh, December seems so far away ago, we talked about the first couple of phases of our audit approach. So I'm just going to go to the third box there. What happens when we actually complete the rest of our auditing procedures? When we work with the team in February and March of this year, we specifically test year-end financial statement balances. The port team is responsible for preparing the draft of the financial statements and all the related disclosures, and they provide that to us as a part of the initial information that we receive for our final field work. And we review all of those and ensure that what is being disclosed and represented in the financial statements is consistent with the testing that we're doing over those account balances. And then as a part of our completion process, we met internally with management, we discussed results, we ultimately issued reports, and then this is our final responsibility for communication with this group. Next slide, please. So what do we do specifically as part of our audit work that we perform? We do a number of different testing methodologies. We, in some cases, will confirm with outside parties, specifically as it relates to debt or perhaps accounts receivable. Sometimes we detail test an account balance because that's the most effective manner. And in many cases, we perform analytical procedures. So we use often a combination of those testing methodologies to ensure that the account balances are appropriately recorded at the end of the year. One of the more significant risk areas in the Port of Tacoma audit is estimates. There are a couple of significant estimates within the financial statements. One is environmental liabilities. Another is depreciation, fair value of investments, and the new standards that I addressed earlier, GASB 84, which is related to fiduciary activities, and GASB 88, which is related to more robust debt disclosures. We also look at unusual transactions, and I'll mention a little bit. Most unusual transaction this year was an agreement to provide funding for road construction related to 167. And we also look at journal entries and future commitments. So let me back up a little bit and talk about the significant estimates in general. The most significant estimate to the port, truthfully, is the estimation process around the environmental liability. This liability result requires a significant amount of judgment and by port team members and also specialists that they might use outside of the organization to ensure that all projects that have potential environmental liabilities associated with them are, one, being identified timely, two, being estimated as far as what the cost is, and three, monitored on an ongoing basis. So we spend a fair amount of our audit time understanding that process, testing management's estimates over that, and concluding whether it's reasonable or not. And I'm pleased to say that the port has very good processes and controls around that, and we did not identify any significant errors or issues with the methodology being used. Lastly, as I mentioned previously, we do review all disclosures and ensure that they are consistent with what the standards require and they are clear to a user to understand the nature of the port's operations. Next slide, please. So there was a operationally, I would say the port activity was relatively consistent with what we've seen in the prior year, but from an accounting adoption new standard standpoint, there were some significant new GASBs that were adopted this year. GASB 83 is related to the retirement obligations for assets. This didn't result in any change to accounting or disclosure, but it's a new policy that requires the port to continue to monitor assets that might have a retirement obligation that comes with an additional cost. For example, if you're going to retire asset A and there's a cost to an anticipated cost that will be incurred to demolish that asset, and you know that today, those are the types of things that would be accrued up once that asset retirement obligation is known. There were no, like I say, there were no adjustments to the financial statements for this, but it's a new accounting policy to be monitored. The next one is fiduciary activities. This particular standard is much meatier than I think most in the industry expected it to be when it first came out. It ultimately didn't result in any changes to the port's financial statements. The disclosures were tweaked a small amount, but it really requires the report to, it required the port team to do a very robust analysis over a number of different fiduciary type activities. For example, looking at the pension accounts, looking at the 403B account, the deferred compensation account, a number of different fiduciary-like activities that ultimately, had they met the requirements of the standard, would have required some additional items to be recorded on the financial statements. The end result was the port team concluded that nothing needed to be reported into the financial statements, which was a nice place to land, but it was a very time-consuming and robust activity that was handled by the port team. The next one is related to disclosures associated with debt. The GASB already requires very robust disclosures on debt activity during the year. The really big change here was disclosing, being more clear in the disclosures when a debt is directly with a lender or you have a their debt that's placed with a third party. So not a significant amount of changes to the footnotes, but they're, again, a pretty robust analysis by the port to get to that conclusion. We haven't looked at the numbers on the financial statement yet, but we'll see when we get there. There was a special item that was recorded this year related to the a commitment that was made by the commission to support work being done on State Route 167. And it resulted in the report recording a special item on the income statement totaling about $22 million. So that was certainly new and different this year. And then there were bond refundings and some additional direct borrowings this year that had the impact of changing the debt balances. We saw, some debt being converted from variable rate debt to fixed term debt and some other debt being converted from variable to new variable rate debt. So significant activity during the year. The port team had their hands full, I will say that. And then lastly, as you can anticipate, when we issued these financial statements at the end of March, we were just in the beginning of our stay-at-home order in the state and sort of wrapping their hands around what the impact of COVID-19 would be on operations. So the financial statements do include, some wording about that specific subsequent event. At the time, and truthfully, even through today, there's a fair amount of uncertainty around what that overall impact will be. But the intent of that subsequent event wording was to put readers on notice that the port is continuing to monitor and analyze that, and we'll adjust appropriately. Next slide, please. The next couple of slides are the condensed version of the financial statements, so the balance sheet and the income statement and the cash flow. And I've already hit on some of the new things that took place this year, so I'm just going to point out a couple of different things. And certainly, if there's questions, don't hesitate to speak up. On the balance sheet, on the asset side, the most significant change we see this year is related to the investment in joint venture. So this is the port's 50% portion of their ownership in the Northwest Seaport Alliance. So this asset incorporates any cash distributions that the port might receive, any distributions, cash contributions they make to the Northwest Seaport Alliance, and the overall operations of that investment. So I would anticipate we will continue to see some growth in this as the Seaport Alliance continues to do the things that it's been tasked to do. The other thing of most significant difference here, and we see it in long-term investments are down a little bit this year. Some of that is just timing of investments. There were more investment sold this year and less reinvested into long-term investments. More of those are sitting in the current investment category to be used for either funding for fixed assets or in Northwest Seaport Alliance activities going forward. Next slide, please. On the liability side, there we also see a couple of changes that were new this year. The most significant changes you'll see are in the forward starting payment agreement. That's the swap agreements that are associated with the debt. A significant jump there, primarily because of the swap values of this year and also some of the debt transactions that took place that made some changes to those debt agreements and the related swaps. But the most significant change you'll see on the liability side is in that other long-term liabilities account, which went up about $20 million. And as if you might recall what I mentioned, the special item that was recorded this year, this is related to the funding that the port has committed to. They just haven't, the cash has not been expended as of the end of the year related to their commitment to support the state Route 167 expansion project. Next slide, please. So this is the income statement. So this shows us the activity that was generated throughout the year where the balance sheet was, as if you recall, is as of a point in time. So operating revenues overall, which is mostly real estate related transactions, are up a little less than $4 million. So a very strong year on the operating revenue side. The joint venture income is related to the net income generated by the Northwest Seaport Alliance. Down slightly from last year, but relatively close to what was budgeted. And then let's go down to the bottom. The most significant item on the income statement this year that was different, as I mentioned, is the special item. And GASB allows for specifically calling out items that are unusual and unexpected to occur in the future, which is why this is shown separately, so that going forward, you're really able to analyze apples to apples instead of having something unusual be in the operating section and it sort of skews the ability to see what trends might be taking place in the financial statements. Next slide, please. So this is the cash flow statement summary. So the cash flow statement is important because it reflects where cash is being generated and where those cash proceeds are being used. So overall, about middle of the way through the slide, you can see that there was a net decrease in cash during the year of about $884,000. So what caused that? Well, a couple of things. Cash flow provided by operations was significantly different this year over last year. And that was driven by a couple of things. Some of that is timing of when cash disbursements are made and when cash receipts are received from customers. But the biggest change there was last year you received a settlement of about $27 million that was included in the cash flow from operations last year. So it does look like a significant swing, but there was some unusual activity last year. The other significant change year over year you can see is in net cash used in capital and related financing. The biggest change here is for 2018, you spent about $26 million on capital additions, and this year that was down substantially at about $14 million. So sometimes that's just timing, or projects are maybe not progressing as expected, but often more related to timing. And then, as I mentioned before, we see a significant change in cash provided by investing activities, and this is primarily driven by the fact that you sold more investments than you actually reinvested in. So some of those investments are now sitting in either been converted to capital assets, perhaps an investment into the Seaport Alliance, or sitting in cash. So at the end of the day, the port and, the cash position is about, it's slightly less than last year, but still very solid at just over $1 million for current cash. Next slide, please. So just a couple of things, part of our required communication at the end of an engagement is just a reminder that our responsibility under our professional standards is to express an opinion on the financial statement, and management and the commission ultimately are responsible to ensure that what we're provided is fairly presented and appropriate. So we've accomplished that. We do get representations at the end of the audit by management to ensure that one, all relevant information was shared with us, and that we get that in writing from them, from the management team. We did not identify any significant difficulties as a part of the audit. I will say as you can tell, there were a number of new GASBs that were adopted this year. That's a lot of work up front, and the port team did an outstanding job really working on those all last summer and really getting those in front of us well before we started our audit, which just makes the whole process much smoother for us. So we appreciate their continued ability to stay on top of things. Next slide, please. We did not have any disagreements with management. There were no major issues that were discussed with management prior to our being retained for the audit this year. We do look overall at the port's accounting practices and ensure that they're consistent with what we see as far as what's required by generally accepted accounting principles, but also what the industry is doing. As I mentioned in the very beginning, there were no control deficiencies. And I think this really tells you the strength of your team. We identified no audit adjustments, and we also will keep track of any uncorrected misstatements that we've concluded are not material overall to the financial statements, and we did not identify any of those as well. So that tells you that they're doing an outstanding job making sure their records are clean when we get them. Next slide, please. So a couple of things that are coming down the pike, although when we prepared this presentation, what I'm telling you is true, there's now been a change, but I'll explain what's going on. There is a new standard that the port has actually adopted as of January 1, 2020, and it's related to leases. Under this new, that standard has now been actually deferred one more year, but because the port was on, had been already well down the path of adopting the standard, they went forward with adopting it early. This new standard will change the look of your financial statements significantly. Under the old accounting, legacy accounting, all leases, generally operating leases, were not recorded as an asset and a liability on the financial statements. And the flip side, as a lessor, you did not recognize a lease receivable or deferred inflow for that. Now, all of your leases essentially come onto the balance sheet. So things are going to look a little different. And you may have already started to see that in some of your monthly reporting. But certainly the financial statements will look a little different next year when we do the audit. And then the other standard that is going to be applicable for 2020 is related to interest costs. And that allows, under the legacy accounting, you could capitalize a portion of your interest incurred on your debt as a part of a capital project. That standard is now changed. And so no longer be accounting for that. But that should be a relatively minor impact to the port. Next slide, please. So next steps, we have finalized the audit, and the last couple things that are to be done is the finalizing of the annual report, which includes our audited financial statements and also the comprehensive annual financial report, or the CAFR, both of which the port is in process of doing now. And I believe that is my last slide. So I know that was a lot, and sometimes I talk really fast. So any questions from the committee or anything that you want me to answer more specifically, I'm happy to do that.
Well, thank you very much. Deanna, do you have any questions or comments?
I'd just like to say thank you to our staff for doing such an outstanding job. So it sounds like it made life easier for everybody. So
it did. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'd also want to thank you. And a couple things got to me right away, which I liked, this being my first audit committee, was that there was no such disagreements with management. That's always nice to hear. And then also with the environmental estimates and stuff, that's always good to know that it was very close to some of the liabilities with regards to, you know, guessing what we're doing based on it. But it's because of all the history that we've had with environmental cleanup throughout the years. So it's always good.
Thank you. Too. Thanks, Dick.
Thank you. Okay, next on the agenda, if I'm right, is right on that, on the State Auditor's Office Accountability Audit Exit?
Yep, so my name's Joanne Klein, and I'm the audit manager of Team Tacoma with the State Auditor's Office. Gus Ramos was the supervisor on the audit, and Dave Smoko was the primary auditor on the audit, but I'm the one that's going to present today. Next. We're going to go over about our office and the 2018 accountability report, and then we'll discuss the report publications and concluding comments. Next. Our office is, you know, holds public entities accountable for their use of public resources, and our goal is to do our work on what's high risk to the public, get those reports out, and have that as an independent reviewer for the public so that they have more trust in government. Next. The accountability report in the package that I sent, the accountability report is on page 4, has the results. And our accountability report is at a lower threshold. We take areas that are or high risk or sensitive to misuse or sensitive to compliance with state laws, and we look at what we've selected. When we do that, we actually do work with RSM, review their work, and see if there's any areas that we can address or not address based on what they have included in their report. This year's report was a clean report. We concluded that the port operations complied with the applicable requirements and provided safeguarding of public resources. And also the port complied with the laws and regulations and your own policies and procedures in the areas that we examined. Next. The areas that you see here are areas that we felt were higher risk this year. Related parties and the cost allocation from the ports and the Northwest Seaport Alliance. We looked at public works contracts, and we reviewed bid law and the related compliance with those public works contracts that were initiated in 2018, and also looked at change orders on prior public works. We looked at lease revenue and tested port revenue lease agreements for compliance with various state requirements. Accounts payable, electronic funds transfer. This is an area that we're looking at statewide because there's we want to make sure that all the entities have controls in place because the electronic funds transfer is a new way for the fraudsters to get money out of your accounts. So we wanted to make sure that you were not susceptible to wire fraud. And fuel usage. So we looked at the policies and procedures that you have over fuel inventory, and also reviewed usage over several years to look for abuse. And all of that was a clean opinion. Next. So we were able to do our report during 2019, and we actually issued that accountability report in December of 2019. We always have all of our reports out on the SAO website. It also will include the financial reports after we've reviewed them that that your auditors for the financial aid statements have reviewed. So all of your audits, except for the performance audits, are included on our SAO website. Next. We are, during our audit, we're sensitive to having confidential information. We don't put that in our audits. We estimated our audit costs to be about $31,000, and the actual costs were approximately that amount. During the course of the audit, we communicate with Darren and make sure that he's aware of our audit status and any changes to our schedule. And we also work with him, making sure that if there's any recommendations, that we communicate to him timely. Next. If there's any questions.
I actually have a question. Sorry, Dick. Going back to the wire fraud, what kind of tests do you do to ensure that we are compliant or protecting ourselves well?
We try to, from the local perspective, or from my team perspective, we look at your controls. What is the process that you use when you're changing a vendor? What's the process that are you allowing individuals or vendors to make those changes on their own? We're looking at, is there somebody separate looking and confirming what changes are made? We have a performance center that has recommendations for entities and what they should look for on wire transfers. I can send that to you. So in the state, and probably nationally as well, we found more instances in our local governments of payroll frauds, as well as a few vendors, because you have big construction contracts. There have been instances in which changes were made without the entity following up, per se. So you might get a fax that says, change our billing address to this, or an email, and the entity's policies and procedures weren't to double check that. So that's what we just, it's more of a, hey, this is going on. Make sure that you have a process. What is your process? And we just try to make sure we can catch those things early on and make sure that people are alert.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing no one's hand or anything. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
The last page has my name. If you ever have any questions throughout the year, I'm available as well, and I can make sure we get your questions answered.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're right down to commissioner's comments, but before that, Eric, would you have anything you'd like to say?
No, I do, actually. I'll make just brief remarks. I'll tell you that I'm very impressed. Remain very impressed with Darren and his accounting team. They are very, very responsive to me when I'm asking questions and making sure that I'm not getting myself in trouble, let alone everybody else. And RSM, our accounting firm, has been in the talk with me, made sure that I'm comfortable with things that are going on there. So it's just been I'm pretty impressed with the process. And in my former job, I used to have to work with ports who we're having troubles with the auditor's office. And so I take this stuff very seriously because I know how much of a mess it can make if you don't do it right. And as near as I can tell, we're doing it right. And I intend to keep it that way. So, and to follow up just briefly on Commissioner Keller's question about wire fraud, we're really doubling down on staff training right now for email scams and that sort of thing, phishing exercises and that kind of stuff. I got two fraudulent emails today, for example, so they're the IT staff is spending a lot of time. We've signed up for a special training program. All the staff have to take it, and it's paying off, but things can happen in a hurry if you're not careful, and so we're trying to be very, very careful.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Deanna, you have anything? Any comments or anything?
I can. I just wanted to say that I'm very impressed. I mean, I've worked with a lot of different financial teams, and this is definitely one of the best ones that I've ever worked with. So, you know, very happy with the work that they're doing. And I like everything that our auditors have shown us and in helping us accomplish our goals. So thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much once again, everybody. And once again, our staff does an excellent job. And as you, as Eric and Deanna understand that, you'll know what's happening in the future, that we work with a great professional staff. So with that, we will stand adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.